Hello, hello, hello. It's Melissa Rowe, and this is Audio Mo, where anything goes. Yeah, it kind of worked. Maybe not. Anyways, hi, guys. Everybody is doing good, I hope. And today is Audio Mo 26, day 26 of 2015. Interesting. Yes, indeed. So, it's been a relatively nice evening. It's really been kind of a quiet day today. I have been trying to just relax. The workout yesterday made me feel great, but of course, as everybody knows, when you haven't worked out in a while and you suddenly get back into it, your body is like, whoa, what's going on here? So, I've been spending the day with sore legs, and it's not fun. So, getting up, walking around the house, especially when I have a dog to look after, things like that are just a little slow for me today. I can get up and I can do stuff, but I'm just a little slow when it comes to maneuvering around the house. But it's not a, you know, although it's a pain in the leg, literally. It's not a horrible pain, and, you know, it's just something I have to deal with. And we all know, you know, for those that do jump on the treadmill or do any kind of workout, you know your body is going to feel it the next day. And that's exactly what's happened. So hope all is well with everybody. Well, what an interesting turn of events we're having. I'm certainly thankful that the weather is changing, although I don't like the fact that we're still going to be in, you know, pretty much triple digits, and it's going to be muggy. The humidity is coming up, and there's going to be possibly some thunderstorms, and the rain is certainly going to help those poor firefighters. You know, the water is going to help put out the fire. I guess every little bit counts. Last I heard, it was 30-some thousand acres, and that's not good at all. This is the Lake Fire. That's the one burning near Big Bear. Pretty scary. I know that there is at least one or two towns have a mandatory evacuation order, and I think another one has a voluntary evac order, and that's basically what's going on there. I really, you know, pray for the safety of those people. And you know, it was kind of an interesting day today. I just feel bad, you know, that there has to be so much violence, you know, and it's been an interesting week. You know, there was the massacre that happened last week, and Obama gave his eulogy today at the veteran, Reverend's funeral, the reverend that was killed in the church shooting. And on that same day, of course, somebody has to be beheaded in France, all because of a terrorist act. It's like, you know, come on, people. Can't this world just get along? And, you know, it's just sad, you know, when you think about all the lives that were lost and everybody is out, you know, celebrating because, of course, Supreme Court rules for gay marriage. And I'm keeping my comments quiet about that. But it's just sad how everybody thinks, you know, oh, let's celebrate. And then, you know, here you've got this funeral for a reverend. You've got somebody else who's been beheaded. There was another terrorist attack somewhere else. I can't remember where. But I heard about it on the news. And it's such a bittersweet, you know, kind of a, you know, it was nice to see so many people coming together for this person's funeral. And you know, the outpouring of love and support, but then you see all the violence that happens on around you, and it's like somebody is trying, they're deliberately trying to damper everyone's mood. And part of me even wonders if the terrorist attack was deliberately, you know, planned for today. I don't know who, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not, maybe it's just a coincidence, but it's just, you know, this is pretty sad, you know, and why can't people just get along? I don't get it, you know. People are upset because, you know, all these race-fueled shootings, they get upset because people go against their race or something to that effect. And I'm sorry, but they are no better than the person who caused the problem, because they're only adding, they're adding insult to injury, and it's only making things worse, because then the cops have to, you know, step up the protection. I mean, there's been too many darn riots in these past few years, and it's all been racially charged, and it really saddens me that all this is happening. And of course, everyone's like, well, that's how the world is. Yeah. I mean, true, but there, it really doesn't have to be this way. We can decide to make a change. We are humans that have our own free will. We can change the way we live, the way we think, the way we treat others. This can change. People may sit back and go, well, there's no hope. And there may be no hope in your eyes, but the world can change if people really, really put an effort into it. And probably 90% of the people that are causing this ruckus are probably not even listening to my message. Which is difficult, but I guess the other 10% or whoever else is causing trouble and deciding to listen to Audio Boo or browse Twitter, or whatever the situation may be, you know, just a little bit makes a huge difference. There are people out there that are dying, that are suffering, that have lost loved ones, all because of this crazy ruckus, because people just can't seem to get along. And to me, that is just a waste of time, because we could be spending time supporting each other, encouraging one another, trying to, you know, live for the better of Earth, of all humanity that lives on it, of all species that lives on it. You know, it could change. And for someone to say, well, that may never happen, oh, you can't change the world overnight, that's not going to happen. You know, you can't. I mean, that is just being realistic. But that is such a negative comment to thoughts that really, I mean, people could change if they really wanted to. And if they don't, that just means that people don't want to get along. And it really, you know, to me, it's just, I almost wish I could just go establish a colony on Mars, because, you know, I would have rules to follow, and people would need to treat each other with respect. Everyone has lost all decency, you know, not everybody, but this planet is just in a complete downfall because people choose not to get along. So they treat each other badly, they treat the planet badly, the animals badly, they don't appreciate what they have, they don't appreciate one another. And, you know, this nonsense is really ridiculous. It needs to stop. You know, if people could just, even for one day, you know, even for one day, put all of their hostilities, their hatred, trash it, just let it go, even for one day. Even for a few hours, could we at least see world peace. That way there's no terrorists attacking other people because of their race or religion or whatever the situation is. That way there's no judging one another. You know, I remember when they talked about on Twitter about the whole Supreme Court ruling about the gay marriage. A couple of people got real smart about it, and they said, oh, take that, you Jesus freak. So guess what we got, you know, blah, blah, blah. To me, you're no better than, you know, somebody who goes out and shoots a black person just because of their race. You're no better than that. You know, obviously nobody can call you a murderer, but to be honest, you know, those that want their rights, they got what they want. They got what they have. There is no need to go around calling people names just because they didn't have the same belief that you did. There's no need in mocking people just because they disagree with your viewpoints. There's no need to do that because, in my opinion, you are no better than the person who causes grief and heartache to people because of a racial or religious or disability that they just can't deal with or they don't like to see. You are no better if you are going around mocking people because they don't believe a certain way you do. And that is pretty harsh. I know people may, you know, listen to this and they'll go, wow, that's, you know, you're basically calling these people murderers. Well, I'm not calling them murderers per se, but they're basically having the same viewpoints as the people that have committed all those murders. They're basically saying, well, your opinion doesn't matter. Mine does. Ha ha. And they're going to take what America allows them to do or what America has made legal, and they're going to use it against people. They're going to use it as a weapon. In my opinion, it should not be used that way. It should not be that way at all. Some people are celebrating today. They're thankful for it. Others are going around and they're mocking other people. Oh, you Jesus freaks, you religious people. Ha ha, take that. Now, granted, there are people on the other side who are going to sit around and go, and they're going to pass all these judgments. And they're going to say, oh, those people are bad. Those people are hypocrites. That doesn't make things right either. I reserve my comments for that reason. I do not pass judgment towards anybody. And if they're going to have their beliefs and their thoughts, that is their opinion. That is not my business to comment on. That is not my business to say, well, this person is not practicing what the Bible says, or this person is blah, 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 blah. That is not my place. That's God's place to deal with. And I don't believe that people have any right whatsoever to be criticizing somebody just because of their beliefs. Have respect for one another. I'm not saying get on top of each other and hug and slobber and kiss all over each other, but my God, have respect, people. This is ridiculous, you know? And look at all these people who have lost their lives all because of this. All because of a racial difference or a sexual orientation or a religious belief. All because of that. They lost their lives all because of that. Because people can't learn to respect one another. And that, you know, enrages me. You guys, I mean, people need to start being nice to one another. This is not the proper behavior of an adult. This is the behavior that children practice. On the playground, there are bullies. And as you go out in the world, there are the big bullies on the big people playground. And if I'm coming across as the teacher telling the kids not to be the bully, well, maybe that's probably what it sounds like, and maybe that's what it is. I've worked with kids a lot in my lifetime. Many, many times have I been in classrooms, and although I wasn't the teacher, I was always reading to them and tutoring them with their math or whatever it is, and other kids would come and bully them, and I would always try to protect the kids from these bullies. I remember going to a volunteer session. I was 12 years old, and I was in the sixth grade. there was a class next door to us of autistic children. And the teacher reached out and he asked people to come and help him. He needed help with his students, you know, teaching them how to count, teaching them how to do stuff. I was actually very, very inspired by him, because a lot of teachers that I've seen, they just put the autistic kids in a class and they just sit around and watch them play. That's all they do. They don't enhance their mind. They don't stimulate their brains and get them interested and put together a curriculum for these kids to learn. And that's why they grow up and they don't learn anything. In fact, the woman that I'm helping tomorrow with homework doesn't know how to spell, doesn't know how to put an efficient sentence together, because the schools that she was put into because of her disability, all they did was arts and crafts. This teacher came to our class, and I remember sitting in the seat, and I remember crying when he would talk about these kids, and he would say they eat grass all the time and the people laugh at them. And it is sad, because I've seen those kids eat grass and I feel really bad, because grass, you know, it is a stomach upset. Yes, it is, puppy, huh? You ate grass too once and you got sick, didn't you? Yeah. It's not a very good thing to eat. And I tried to break a kid out of doing that, and the teacher's aide that was with me just told me, you know, don't do that, don't do that. And I was going to go over there and pull her out of that, you know, pull her out of the stage, but they will fight, they will hit, they will kick, and I guess because the school was liable for me, I was only 12, they did not want me touching her, because she was the type that would be combative, and I was going to go pull her away from the grass, but everyone said, just let her do it. And to me, I thought, you know, I'd rather be kicked and bitten and hit and slapped than have this kid eat grass and suffer God knows what of an illness. And when this teacher reached out and asked for us to put our names on the sheet and come into class and work with these kids, I was afraid, because I didn't know if he would accept me because of my blindness. And I just sat in the seat and I just remember crying, you know, just hearing about these kids. And he came over to me and I said, you know, how could they do that? How could people be so mean to them? And he said, you know, you'd be a very good help to these kids, because you, with a disability, you know what that's like. And he says, I'm willing to let you come next door and help. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah. I mean, they work with counting blocks. You can count. You can do your math. You could teach them how to count to 10. They work with the counting blocks because it stimulates them. They move blocks around, they manipulate them, and they put them into a pile. So when I tell them to count to 10, they're not writing 10 on a paper, they're counting 10 blocks. And, you know, he said, why don't you come over and help? And it got to the point where I enjoyed being over there. I actually had a better time over there than I did in my class. And I remember one particular day we were going to watch a movie, and it wasn't PG. It was PG-13, I believe. And you know, and the teacher had to get us all to sign a permission slip. And I deliberately didn't give the permission slip to my parents. And when the day of the movie came, he goes, where's your permission slip? I said, I don't have it. And he goes, well, what are you going to do? I can't let you stay here and watch the movie if you haven't had your parents sign the permission slip. And I said, I'm going to go to a place where I'm needed. And I went and I helped those kids. And the teacher was not happy. Oh my God, was he not happy. But, I mean, that was like, it was such an amazing class. I'll never, ever forget that teacher. He was such a powerful influence on me. And I know I'm getting way off topic about talking about people getting along, but, you know, I'm talking about bullies on the playground. There were these kids that were just being so badly mistreated, and I wanted to do everything I could to help them. That teacher, you know, he was such an amazing teacher. When I was down in the dumps, I could talk to him. I remember there was a girl who had an anxiety, and she needed to constantly have human contact. She just didn't like the feeling of being alone. And he would sit with her, and he would hold her in his arms, and he would calm her down. And I'd be right there in the room as this was going on. And just the love that he had, the compassion that he had for those children. And he even was tough on them when he had to be. When they misbehaved and I would come in to help, he goes, "Show no mercy on this kid. Give him hard math problems. He was not a good person today." You know, he was the one, honestly, who influenced me to go to college. I mean, you know, he didn't tell me to go to college at the time, but the dedication, the compassion, that was what motivated me to go to school, what I'm doing now, and work towards, it's decided I'm going to pursue my bachelor's in English and go for my master's in special ed. Math is not my strong point. So I'm not, you know, I could technically, you know, if I really wanted to, work towards being an English teacher, but I want to be a teacher to help children, especially blind children, read and write. Because reading and writing is so important to communication in our society today. And when these children with special needs don't know how to spell, don't know how to put sentences together, don't know how to read, they're in danger. They're in huge trouble. And some people may say, well, maybe their brain just can't handle it. I disagree. You just never know what God can do with their brains. And that teacher, ladies and gentlemen, and his name almost escapes me for a minute. His last name started with an M. If I ever met him again, I would shake hands and thank him. Because it was that influence from him, the inspiration, the dedication, the communication, the compassion, everything that he did as a teacher with those kids was amazing. And the systems that he came up with, you know, he came up with these flashcards to teach the kids how to read the numbers. And if it was a number 4, he put 4 little Velcro dots on the back so I could feel. And I knew how many were on the back. So he gave me these little flashcards. And I would put the card in front of the child. And they would count how many ever was on that card. They would count it and they would put it, they would send it towards me. They would push the block towards me, and we would create this little pile in the center of the table. And if they counted correctly, they got a reward. And if they didn't, we just, tried to encourage them to try again. And I've experienced some instances where we then would take the kids out into the playground. And these poor children were being bullied. And it broke my heart. There was also a student in the classroom who did not know anything but swear words. If you asked him a question, his response was F you or other expletives. He didn't know how to talk. He didn't know how to say anything else. And without giving me too much detail, the teacher basically said this is what he's brought up in at home. And I'm sure he couldn't tell me everything because obviously there's confidentiality involved. But you think about these kids who are put in these homes and the parents are saying all these expletives, and whether they're abusing their kid or not, the teacher wouldn't confirm or deny that. And that's understandably, you know, I understand that. But when all they know how to say is cuss words, that really shows a lack of empathy for their child. Whether this is a foster child or a relative is raising them, that's just a lack of empathy and a lack of love to teach your child, even though you're unaware of it, you're teaching them cuss words. Even children that don't have a disability, if they hear their parents cussing all the time, they're going to do it. I remember a funny incident, although it's not funny, but it was funny to us at the time as kids. My mother and father both, you know, would utter an expletive or two every now and then. And I remember one night my mom needed to go somewhere. Something had happened. And my brother Sean at the time, he was about 1.5, almost 2, in that stage where they would repeat a lot of things you'd say, even though they didn't say it correctly. My mom was frustrated about something. I don't remember what it was. We were walking somewhere, and she said, "Shit." And she was carrying my little brother, Sean, in her arms. And, of course, he was facing her. And, you know, he was in her arms, and he went, "Shit." And my mom goes, "Don't say that." And she gave him a swat on his behind. And he went, "Shit. Don't say that. Shit. Don't say that. Shit." We're trying hard not to laugh, but it was almost irresistible. And I even reached over and gave him a swat on his behind. And I said, "Don't say that." And my mom finally said, "Okay, stop doing. Let's stop hitting him, because he now knows he's amused us. And every time we give him a swat on the behind, he's going to keep doing it because he thinks it's funny because he sees us laughing." So we just ignored him. And here we are walking down the sidewalk, and my little brother keeps going, "Shit, shit, shit." And eventually he stopped. But, you know, I mean, it was funny at the time. And now it's kind of like I have to just giggle, not at the fact that he was saying cuss words, but it was like my mom would swat him on the behind. "Don't say that. Shit. Don't say that. Shit. Don't say that." You know, and it is something that children need to be aware of. And by the way, I probably should have given a disclaimer. I said a cuss word. So if you need to skip over that, if you had to skip over that, I'm sorry about that. But anyway, you know, that's just a prime example. Kids learn, and they will repeat or echo everything you say, especially the autistic kids. They echoed a lot of things that you said. And so to ask somebody a question and to get, you know, responses that were not very nice, at first it shocked me, you know, because I would ask this boy, "Hey, you want to go play on the swing?" And he would respond with an expletive. And you never knew if that was a yes or a no. And so you just had to just roll with the punches. And so the teacher would have me put him on the swing and experiment. And if he didn't like it, he would kind of yelp, or he would, you know, and so we got him off. But sometimes he did like it. And so I pushed him in the swing for a few minutes. And then he gets off the swing and he proceeds to pull down his pants and go to the bathroom in the sand. And which resulted in other kids bullying him and resulted in a teacher having to pull me out of the way so he didn't aim in my direction. And yeah, that was a pretty sad moment. you know, for me, just watching the kids make fun of him when it was probably something either A, he had to go and didn't know how to communicate it. And eventually, you know, unfortunately, all of us have that moment where you just have to go and you can't control the urge. Or B, he just doesn't know. You know, you just don't do that there. And I've seen so many kids in certain circumstances, and it really is sad to see them the way that they're going. So, you know, this world is very, very precious. Everybody has their different viewpoints. It's okay to disagree with different viewpoints. I disagree with a lot of things, and I'm sure other people disagree with me, and it's fine. But there are certainly nicer ways we can handle debates or disputes. I personally do not like debates for that reason. I will discuss with somebody. There, like I've said many times in my recordings, there is a difference between a discussion and a debate. I personally do not like debates because they can get really heated. This is why I do not watch the political debates. I will watch the news. I'll keep up with all the details, but I will not watch the political debates. Not at all. I just don't like them. I don't like how they just, you know, do this name calling, and it's almost hypocritical because, you know, people say they want the best for their country. You go home and you tell your child to be nice. Don't hit the little kid, or don't be mean to the fat kid on the playground. And then what do these adults do? They turn around and they do that to each other. And to me, I think that's just a bunch of hogwash. It's like, you know, do as I say, not as I do. What are you teaching these children? Are you teaching them to call names and expose everybody's secrets just because you think that that's going to give you the upper hand? People may say, well, business is business, and you got to do what you got to do to get your foot in the door, to get yourself sitting on the throne, or whatever it is, whatever expression you want to use. Business may be business, but remember, we're dealing with human beings. We're dealing with the precious, precious gift of life. And if your job is to set out to achieve your dream and step on as many toes as you can to get there, then, may I ask kindly, can there be an alternate route? I try to go through my life and I pursue my dreams as best as I can. And sometimes you step on toes and you can't avoid it. And sometimes you have a choice. And I try to take the alternate route whenever it is in my control. You know, not all of us, we're not always in control. And there are circumstances that we cannot control or predict or prevent. Others we can, but the ones that we can't, we just deal with it the best way we know how. And when we do that, let's at least make sure that everybody comes out better than when they went in. And it's hard. It's hard because I really want that to be the case, and I know realistically it's not. I know realistically you can't change the world overnight. I know realistically you can't get rid of hatred. You can't get rid of greed. You can't get rid of this pride and slandering people just to get your way. You can't get rid of those who go up against people because of their, you know, disagreeing with their viewpoints. You can't get rid of all of that. But I would certainly like to see a change in the attitude as to people who can at least try to. And I guess that's, for me, why I really think, you know, change is not always good, but change can be good. And whoever hears this and knows that I'm saying this with my utmost sincerity and that I'm really concerned for the well-being of every living thing on this planet. Hear what I say and know that I mean it. I mean that everyone deserves to live a life of peace. And whether you believe in God like I do or you believe in any other religion, everybody deserves to live a life in peace. No one is to force their lives upon you, and you in turn are not to force your life upon them. Everyone is to live in peace and harmony. And if the world can't do it all together, then we can probably try doing this one person at a time. And when that happens, eventually a trickle will flow. And the world may not be perfect, but hopefully in time it'll be much better than what it is now. It's getting late and I've rambled on far too long. In fact, I've missed a little bit of the 11 o'clock news. And I do need to take my dog out. I usually take him out before the news so I can curl in bed and sleep in bed late. But it's going to be a late night tonight. I can already feel that. So, I mean, I don't know, guys. Give a little hug, give a smile, brighten someone's day, you know? Turn a negative experience into a positive one. And if you don't know how, ask someone how. You know, it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it doesn't have to be this way. So that's my thought. Just have respect for one another's boundaries, for one another's life, their points of view. And learn to love everybody that you meet. Learn to have respect for everyone that you meet. It's so hard to do. There are certain people I myself have a hard time respecting and loving because they are so disrespectful and unloving to others or myself. Especially, you know, when people either make fun of my husband or say things about my dog. You know, one woman, a member of PETA, actually told me that my dog was a slave because he was working as a guide dog for me. And to me, that didn't even sound right, even from somebody who worked or was a member of PETA. Because usually I've had other members of PETA who always, you know, they see guide dogs being hailed as heroes on television and magazines and online. Guide dogs are heroes. They're not slaves. They're wonderful, wonderful companions. And it's just another dimension to how intelligent these animals are. You know, and it's hard for me to love and respect people who have such extreme views and who are so willing to step on your toes and share these views no matter how you feel or what you think, just without care, just callously open up their mouths and say such hideous, cruel words without respecting the consequences that those words have on you. It doesn't have to be this way, folks. It doesn't have to be. Be what you want to be. Be who you plan to be. Or if you really want to join the army, be all that you can be. No, that was... But no, seriously. Be yourself. Don't expect other people to be you. and don't respect, I mean, not don't respect, don't expect other people to expect you to be like them. Respect others, but don't expect from others. Respect and accept. It's hard to do. And there are times I find this very hard. I find it hard to accept somebody who negatively bashes, just is so against everything you say and everything you do and everything you believe. It's almost hard to keep up the good, positive attitude when around every single freaking corner, there is always someone there to take you down. And that's why for me, although I play games on the computer, I know the game of life is even more terrifying. There is an enemy at every level. And every day is a battle. You may not encounter a human enemy, but you will encounter an enemy that you don't understand. Today, unfortunately, my enemy was pain. I've been in pain today. And I guess you can say it's a good pain, but still, I had a few things I wanted to accomplish today, and I didn't. But I'm not going to regret it, you know? Every day is a battle. Every day. You keep your life together. You try and stay strong. And you pray or whatever rituals you follow or practice. You know, you stay in that method. But there's always going to be an enemy ready to use what he has in his arsenal or it has in its arsenal. Anyways, thanks to Audio Boom crashing on me. I got interrupted with what I was saying, but like I said, every day's a battle, and there are some days you'll win and some you'll lose. Everyone knows that. So if your day is not going so great, that doesn't mean you need to drag other people down with you. There may be days we may be called to help fight someone else's battle to ensure that they win. And if that's the case, don't drag them down. It's hard. It's hard to stay happy and cheerful and positive. Hi, puppy. Hi. Oh, I'm sure you're ready to go out, huh? You have to go potty? Yeah, he's pawing at me. I gotta take him. So, just be brave. Be brave, but be courageous to yourself and to others. You know? I firmly believe we are in the end times, and I think this is when everybody needs each other the most. And instead of turning on one another, we can turn to one another and ask for prayer or ask for support or love or comfort, whatever it is that you're hoping for an abundant source of. So, I don't know what else to say. I'm pretty much out of words. I hope I'm not banging my head against a wall. I hope somebody hears this message with the utmost sincerity that I record it. And realizes just how hard it was for me to do. And knows that it's something I'm very compassionate about, that I'm staying up late for, that I'm putting on hold for in my time. And that doesn't give me a reward. The reward will be that somebody hears this message and goes out and does what was requested in this message, which is just to try and get along with people. I mean, that's all we really have to do. We don't have to accept their point of view, but we respect them and understand that they are different. That's what makes this world unique. We don't have to expect the world of them. We just expect that they are a part of our world, and we have to respect that. So, guys, I'm going to skedaddle out of here. My dog is now expecting me to take him out, so I've got to do that for my puppy. But you want to say goodbye, Zappa? You want to say goodbye?
He says, okay, Mom, it's late. Let's go to bed.
All right. All right, guys. Have a good night.